There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. It is a Monday edition of East Coast Bias. The boys ready to recap what was an absolute dud of an NBA playoff opening weekend. Two out of the eight games, to me, were enjoyable. The other six were an absolute bore, but hopefully that means we got some more entertainment coming our way over the next few weeks. We welcome in Joe House, Raheem Palmer, John Jastrzemski, and House, I'm going to start here. We had eight NBA games over the last 48 hours, four on Saturday, four on Sunday. If there's a take you could bring back and strike from the record and ignore every which way imaginable as we live in the world of overreaction, what would be the playoff take you had going into these series that you feel like, wow, I could not have been more wrong. I feel terrible about this. I'd like to take this back. What would it be?
I have a 1A and a 1B for that. 1A would be how competitive the Suns might be against the T-Wolves. Now, some of my handicap of the Suns being competitive in this series was the idea that the T-Wolves would not be allowed to be physical with them. But if the T-Wolves get the whistle that they had on Saturday, then they might just roll right through the Suns team because all of the vulnerabilities of this Suns team were on full display. They're not deep. They're not physical. Minnesota does have an advantage at home. 1B would be Indiana. Where's Tyrese?
So that was pathetic, House.
I want to be generous. Pathetic. I want to be generous, right? Because he's hurt and he never came all the way back. I guess he ended up kind of valiantly trying to get across the goal line for all NBA, and I'm not sure whether or not he's going to make the third team. But the version that we saw of him against that Bucks team, here's the worst take of all, though. Is will it ever be Dame time again? We have our answer. We got Dame time, Dream. We saw Dame time in full display.
Dame was playing possum. He spent all year. He's been dealing with a divorce. He's been depressed in his house, watching fight hype videos, waiting for this moment so he could turn up and tell us that it's still Dame time in the postseason. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, at one point, you're watching the game and I'm half dozing off and Dame has 35 points. And the Pacers have 31. So it's just, I don't even know what to say.
It was incredible. He put on a vintage blast from the past type of Damian Lillard type of effort. And the Indiana Pacers, much like the Milwaukee Bucks, two teams that have a lot in common because they don't play a whole lot of defense. And if they're not hitting shots and they're not efficient on the offensive end, both of those teams are going to struggle. Now, Raheem, if there's a take you could maybe walk back from, what you thought going into this postseason, and here we are, it's Monday, we've only watched, eight, game ones, what would it be?
It's the Orlando Magic. This offense is so abysmal that it doesn't matter what they do on defense. I know I listed all the stats about how the Cavaliers perform against top 10 defenses, but this Magic offense is just absolutely abysmal. Like you're watching halfway through the game and it felt like the Jazz Bulls 98 finals. You know, when the Jazz got blown out by 40. Like, they just could not make a shot. They couldn't make threes. They couldn't make free throws. Paolo is just out there by himself. It's him and Franz. And Franz Wagner isn't the same guy that he's been for most of this season. The guard play is just horrendous. So the Magic have no chance of winning this series. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm with you on that, Raheem. And House, the one thing I would say is I don't trust Cleveland and the idea that they're going to make quick work of the Orlando Magic. Even if you look at this game one, they kind of let Orlando hang around for a good chunk of the game, but then they would go on spurts and basically put them out of their misery. I thought Orlando at plus 164 was a juicy price. After watching game one, I'm with Raheem on this. I just don't know where they're going to find answers offensively. I think they can muck it up to go and win a couple of games, but, I mean, ultimately, you got to be able to score points. You're going to go advance out of the first round, you know?
The Cavs missed 17 straight threes at one point in that game, and they still won by 14 points. So it's just like, if you can't overcome a team missing 17 straight threes, what can you overcome?
Yeah, I don't think that I want to bet on any of these games because I don't want to watch any of these games. I've seen enough. It hurt my eyes trying to watch this Orlando team. The only thing, if you can go on the FanDuel Sportsbook and, you know, try and do correct score, if you want to get a little action down on Cleveland 4-1 winning this series, that's plus 250 right now. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the idea of Orlando winning their first game at home. I don't see that. The part of the handicap going into that game was, will we see Donovan Mitchell fully healthy? He looked good. He's moving well. He didn't even have that outstanding of a game. He had a good game, but the most important thing for me in terms of looking at Cleveland is how's he moving? And he looked physically strong to me, JJ.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, fellas, we were all aligned on Dallas in this series against the Clippers and in game number one. Kawhi Leonard doesn't play, and Dallas could not have looked worse. I mean, second quarter of that game, they can't score a bucket. Zubaz is killing them inside. Of all people, I did not have that on my handicap that would end up being the problem, Raheem, for the Dallas Mavericks, and that's why they'd end up getting absolutely smoked. And listen, got a big game out of Harden, had everybody all fired up. I think it could be overreaction city. Remember, the Clippers won the first two games in Phoenix last year, and that series turned around. Kawhi Leonard obviously was hurt. Now we don't know if he's coming back. I kind of look at this one, Raheem, and say, all right, it might be the overreaction of round one, everyone jumping off the Dallas bandwagon. Are you jumping off the Dallas bandwagon? Because I'm not. I'm staying strong here at this point, Raheem. I do think they will figure it out. I do think they'll get their offense in order. But that was an alarming game one.
So I'm not jumping off the Dallas bandwagon. A lot of that game was shot variance. The Mavericks started off the game 9 from 40. 9 for 40 from the field. Like, when you do that, you're out of the game. And you saw that they made a second half run. But one thing I will say is that it's clear that we overestimated the Mavericks and we underestimated the Clippers. We all know that a lot of times when your star player is out, chaos ensues. And if there's anybody who can lead a team with the star player out, it's James Harden. And we saw that yesterday. But the one thing I will say is that you look at guys like PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. They aren't guys with playoff experience. So as well as the Mavericks have played during the second half of the year, it's not like they were beating playoff teams. They were beating average to above average teams. And this Clippers team is clearly a step up. I think when I went into this series, I said this Clippers team looked so garbage the second half of the year that I couldn't take them serious. And now, even though I'm not jumping off the Dallas bandwagon, I think this is going to be a closer series than what people think. This is probably a 7-game series.
Yeah, JJ, I have a confession to make. The money moved so one-sidedly in the direction of Dallas that I got down on some Clipper money. It got to be
did
a
Did you
plus.
Really? Just because you thought it got a little too out of whack at 3.5 closing line? Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about for the series. I got plus money for the Clippers for the series. As soon as it jumped across, I said, well, I mean, look, the Clippers are the team that have guys with, you know, hundreds of playoff games amongst them, to Dream's point, in terms of that playoff experience. And here's the other aspect of it. And I think we kind of saw it. Now, Dream's point is right. It's shot variance. I think they shot, in addition to 9 of 41 in the first half, like 2 of 18 from 3. And most prominently, Luka showed up like it was, you know, regular season night 77 against the Charlotte Hornets. Like, hey, Luka, it's playoff time. But some of that comes from this particular mismatch, which is Tyronn Lue on full display up against Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd now showing up in game 1, 2-6 against the spread. We should have been on that. That should have been a little cap from the East Coast bias. We should have been in our numbers a little bit with that Jason Kidd, Tyronn Lue matchup. But I absolutely agree with the idea that this one, it feels like it's going the distance to me. I'm not off of Dallas. I mean, all you have to do is show up in the first half, knock down a couple shots. And don't let James Harden control the pace. Like, the biggest takeaway for me was how good and lively and sprightly James Harden looked, and how fat and slow Luka looked.
Oh, Luka looked terrible. He looked terrible. But you know what? He's got one of those games that could be very unaesthetically pleasing at times, and then all of a sudden, boom, the next game he pops up and will drop 60 on you. So you always get to tread lightly as far as that goes.
Sure.
And I would expect, to your guys' point, that we're going to get a much better effort out of Dallas in game 2. House, I have the Pelicans plus 2.5 games for their series against OKC. I don't think they're going to win the series. I don't. But I think they're going to be spunky. And I think game 1 was the perfect example of why I think New Orleans can be spunky in this series. They have a physical team. They're a more experienced team. I mean, you got a whole lot of guys in Oklahoma City. I know they've had some big regular season moments, but let's be real about this. It's a different breed. It's a different animal when you get yourself into the postseason. And I know SGA brought them home. I know they pulled the game out late. Didn't love the last possession from New Orleans for what it's worth. But after watching game 1, House, I know we're going to have a lot more games like that. I don't get the sense Oklahoma City is going to win this series with these. I think there's going to be a dogfight between them and the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, I'm eager to hear Dream's take on this, because as we sit here right now, we're taping this on a Monday. The Pelicans are getting 8, which is very close to the line that closed in the Sunday night game. I think it closed around 8.5 or 9.
Well,
I don't
understand
it. Got
to 9.5. You know why, House? It got to 9.5 because every favorite was winning by so many points. I felt like the odds maker said, we got to shoot this baby up. Thankfully, I finally hit a dog. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I'm going to be on this dog again. I think the handicap, what you just described, is absolutely the right assessment. New Orleans is the team that has the guys that have played all these playoff minutes. Some of that counts, especially in these games for where it's Oklahoma City at home with all that youth. New Orleans has nothing to lose. They've been playing playoff type games, playoff caliber games all the way down the stretch. They are battle tested and battle ready. Their single biggest problem is Lou Dort on Brandon Ingram. And he put Brandon Ingram in the torture chamber. So Willie Green's going to have to go into the lab. But Dream, why is this number at 8 again?
I'm struggling with that as well, because when I look at my power rating for this series, I have Oklahoma City minus 4.7. So I think this line is a little bit high. I think the line should probably be around 5. That's where it should be. But I guess they're taking into account Zion Williamson. Like, to me, the Pelicans should have won that game, but their stars just didn't show up. Like, when you have Brandon Ingram, who is just 5 for 17 for 12 points, and then CJ McCollum, who is 9 for 22 for 20 points, and you're still up 90-88 with 3 minutes to go, and then you have 3 consecutive turnovers. And then after three consecutive turnovers, you get the ball back and you still don't score. And then the game's tied and you have three offensive rebounds and you still don't score. It's just like the game was right there for the taking for them. So I'm probably going to be in the Pelicans in game two as well. I think this line is a little bit inflated. The biggest advantage that the Pelicans have in this series is that the Thunder are too small. They had a 35% offensive rebound rate. So that's going to remain going into game two.
Raheem, let's get to our series with the Knicks and the Sixers. A very entertaining game one was at Madison Square Garden. Place was electric, as you can imagine. And it was an insane game from just a run standpoint. The Sixers dominated the first quarter. The Knicks go and dominate the second quarter. You think an Embiid is going to be done for the game and the series. Then all of a sudden, he's back in the third quarter. Philly has a monstrous third quarter. And then the Knicks in the fourth quarter, it's Deuce McBride. Josh Hart comes back from the dead after doing nothing for the first three quarters, bangs a couple of threes, and the Knicks win the game. This was the discussion on my pod, New York, New York. Glass half full, glass half empty from a Knicks standpoint. I look at it glass half full because they got an off game from Brunson. They got nothing from DiVincenzo. Embiid played on multiple days of rest. And yet the Knicks still found a way to beat Philly. And Anunoby didn't do much as well. Let's throw that out there. The glass half empty is that you're not going to get Deuce McBride and Bogdanovich shooting like that off the bench, and their bench production was just certifiably insane. So are you looking at it? I guess I'll throw it into the Philly camp. Are you looking at it glass half full because, hey, they did a great job on Brunson? Or is it glass half empty because, hey, you know, that's a game you got to win?
This is tough for me because I can make arguments for both sides. I think the glass half empty argument fits the Sixers because here you have the status of Joel Embiid. We just, like, at any given point, he could be done for the series. Like, at any given point. Like, he made the most spectacular play I've ever seen, and then 3 seconds later, it felt like it was all over, and then he comes back in the second half, and he doesn't look like the same guy. The problem with the Sixers right now is that this is a team that was 26 in defensive rebound rate, and they're taking on a Knicks team, which is first in offensive rebound rate. The Knicks had offensive rebounds on 50% of their misses. That can't happen. So you're probably going to hear talk about two big lineups with Joel Embiid and Paul Reed. But how does that impact the Sixers offense? You have guys like Tobias Harris who just aren't showing up. And the tell that it's been, you know, as long as time is that the role players shoot better at home. We got nothing from our bench. Like, absolutely nothing. Nick Batum, who was, like, huge against the Heat, he did nothing. Campaign, he did nothing. Buddy Hill, he did nothing. So that's a problem. And then the biggest problem I see is that the Sixers suck in transition. The Knicks had, like, 30 fast break points. And that's not going to change with the health of Joel Embiid. So I think this is the Knicks series to win. Obviously, you have Joel Embiid playing on one-day rest. So the transition situation is not going to improve here. So, like, it's definitely half full. Half empty, I mean.
So I'll add to Dream's assessment. I mean, tell me how many minutes Joel Embiid is going to play. Tell me whether he saw, you know, the knee doctor from some international locale to help, you know, apply some kind of balm, a cream, an ointment, an unguent. He needs something because he couldn't move in the second half. We all saw it with our own eyes. Mitchell Robinson looked like, you know, second team all defense. The rebound rate was incredible. And, those are things that seem to be immutable. They are going to be the character of this series. And we have a game tonight with the Sixers. You know, the Knicks are laying six. I like the Knicks. The turnaround time is brutal for Embiid. And, you know, I'm obliged by contract every time we talk about the Sixers to wonder aloud, why is Joel Embiid playing in these games? Why did he come back from that injury to play at the end of the season and to play in this series and risk additional injury such that it might impact next season. I'll never understand it. I'm going to try and get up to Philly on Thursday night. Maybe the good folks in Philly can help me understand what the hell's going on, JJ.
Wow, you are making the trek. I wish I was joining you. The dopey NFL draft got to get in the way, or I'd be maybe right next to you, Joe House. Get ready for Knicks and Sixers. All right, we'll come back, step aside. We got to pick these games. It's 100 time for Raheem. We'll see if he's riding with House and myself, and I'll make my case for why I like the Knicks here in game two. But we have Magic's Cavs game two. Magic's. I love that I made that plural. Magic, singular, game two. And then we'll have the Lakers and the Nuggets. All that and more. It's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, Raheem, I'm on the Knicks. House is on the Knicks. Stunning. But it's your time to shine. 100 Monday edition. What's today? Earth Day. Take it away, sir.
Okay, right now, we've been just juicing out the last couple of days. We're 17-16 minus $70. It's just been brutal, a brutal go of it, but we're not down too much. I think we can turn this around. We got a bunch of picks for the 100 today. First things first, we're going to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers, -5.5. We already spoke about the Orlando Magic offense, so we're just going to ride this Cavs team. Next, we're going to go with the double result, Cleveland Cavaliers to win game two, Cleveland Cavaliers to win the series. You can find that at -145. So that's our second pick. For our third pick, I know I spoke a lot about the Magic offense, but this one makes sense to me. We're going to go with Paolo Banchero over 22.5 points. He was 9 of 17 for 24 points in game one and 2 for 7 from 3. And he missed 4 free throws. This is a guy who, look, their only chance of being competitive in this series is through Paolo. And when playing 35 minutes this season, he averages 25.5 points. He's hit this number in 29 out of 44 games, 65%. We all know when it comes to the postseason, your stars have to shine. I expect them to go over this point total. So we got the Cavs game pegged with 3 different bets. We're also going to go with... let's go with the Denver Nuggets -7. You talk about that Los Angeles Lakers game, and this is a team who they're playing in altitude. And not only are they playing in altitude, you're talking about a team who has one day rest. And the Lakers look tired in that second half. You're talking about a team who, look, the Nuggets only have to play 4 minutes of perfect passing. That's all it takes. The Lakers were up in that game. The Lakers were 75-76. LeBron's at the line. And he misses the free throw, and the Nuggets go on a deep run. So we go with the Nuggets there. We're also going to go with the Nuggets-Lakers under 224. I really like that one. I just don't see this being a high-scoring game. And then for our final pick, we're going to go with the Sixers-Knicks over 206.5. I know Tyrese Maxey is questionable for this game, but I expect him to play. So I think this number has gotten a little bit too low. So that we're going to go over there. So that's our five picks for today.
Wow. Did not expect this from you.
Actually, that was six.
You know, House, I thought maybe we were getting one or two.
Yeah, it was six.
We got the full-fledged, full assortment of plays. And let me say, Raheem, I'm right there with you on Denver. House, I love Denver tonight. I like the Lakers in game one. I felt like a genius after watching the first half. I felt like a horse's ass after watching the second half. Because to Raheem's point, they completely ran out of gas. And you're going to keep them in altitude. I don't think you're going to get the same performance from LeBron. And I just think you're going to have a Laker team that doesn't have the answers from the supporting cast playing against the team that has owned them, that has dominated them. And you got the fans in Denver chanting, who's your daddy? There's just, to me, there's too much bad juju and karma here for the Lakers. They may have a moment or two in this series. It's not going to be tonight. I think this is a double-digit Nugget win. I do. I'm riding the Nuggets as well.
It's Groundhog Day every time with this series. We've been watching these games now. It feels like, you know, two straight years. The problem is D'Angelo Russell's not very good against the Nuggets. Once again, 6-for-20 in 41 minutes and 1-for-9 from three. So the Nuggets exploit the hell out of that. And Jamal Murray loves to distribute the ball. He gets cooking against this Lakers team. 10 assists, no turnovers. Like, you could just go through. We got an epic matchup between Anthony Davis and the Joker. But it comes down to the guys on the side, right? The stars are going to do their thing. It's the role players. Michael Porter Jr. is so comfortable against this Lakers team. He has his way. And you said that you hit it exactly right. They just go on the run. They're up by double digits, and then the game's over, and that's how it goes. Every time between these teams, I like laying the 7 tonight as well.
You know, Raheem, prop standpoint, you mentioned the rebounding advantage that the Knicks have had over Philadelphia in game one and that they're probably going to have moving forward in this series. I think if you want to have some fun, get involved with Josh Hart over rebounds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you find something you like, you maybe want to play with the Knicks to win. Maybe you want to play with something else you like. He plays the entire game. He's going to go and get himself double-digit rebounds pretty easily. And Philadelphia can't crash the glass. So that's one I'm looking at. I'll tell you another way I'm looking to play this Knicks game, guys. I think Dante DiVincenzo, who stunk up the joint in game number one, is going to be much better in game two. His over-under right now for threes is at 3.5. And the under is juiced big time. It's at -132. See, I know you're giving me that face, House. He's been in every other guy. He was so bad in game one. I almost feel like some of those looks that didn't go his way are going to go his way. I think he's going to play. I'm playing him over 3.5 threes. I think he has a much improved bounce back game in what's going to be a Knick win. I'm on DiVincenzo.
I'm not going to argue with you. It's just 3.5 right on that number. It's such a sharp number. I don't like betting on guys getting over. Unless it's Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy, oh God, that's my guy right there. What a sweet stroke. But I like it. I like the idea of a nice bounce pass game for DDV, JJ.
That is a really sharp number. And he only played 24 minutes in game one. So if he plays, you know, a higher percentage of minutes, and he took 5 threes, so... Like, I think you kind of have to assume that maybe he plays 30 minutes or so, 35 minutes, and he'll take a couple of more threes. So that's not a bad pick.
Yeah, and I just don't think the Knicks will get the same bench contributions. Deuce McBride is not hitting that many threes again. And Bogdanovich played really well and has a role potentially in this series. But, you know, the Knicks relied on DiVincenzo all year. I think he will play far more than 20-plus minutes. And I think he'll have a much better game. So no play, Raheem, on Sixers-Knicks from a side standpoint. You were not feeling confident that your Sixers would come and cover the six.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that I'm kind of just struggling to know exactly what we're going to, I mean, well, if you told me how many minutes Joel Embiid would play, I would feel more confident. And then now you have Maxey question. I think Maxey's going to play. He had an illness. He missed shoot around. I'm going over on this just because I just think this total has gotten so low, but I could easily see this being a very close win for the Knicks. So I just want to stay away from the side. I'm not crazy about it.
Fair enough. How so? You playing Orlando and Cleveland, or is it stay away city feel?
Stay away city. I don't want to play it because then I don't have to watch it. I can just look at the box score when that rock fight is over. Yeah, I will. I total tiny fib. I'm just betting every time the total is at 200 or more, I'm betting the over. It's an auto bet for me. I can't come up with a scenario where these teams, unless they shoot a combined 80 free throws, that's the only way for these two teams to get anywhere near a combined 200 points. I'm playing the under, so I think the total's in around like the 203 range. This is an under. I just want to have a tiny bit of action. I can't lay off all of them. You know what I mean, JJ.
No, I do. Now, before we say goodbye, Raheem, you'll have 100 tomorrow, so I'm not going to tee you up on any of these games that'll be played Tuesday. House, I have Phoenix +3, and I have Dallas -2.5 circled. I think you get some zag potential, especially with the Suns. I know Minnesota looked great. I know Anthony Edwards looked great. I think you're going to get a bounce back out of the Suns here. I'm grabbing 3. And I'm laying it. I'm going to sound like an idiot after what I saw from Dallas, but I don't think the Clippers can shoot like that again. You see any zag potential there with Phoenix and Dallas in their game twos?
I think it's the right way to play. I mean, every one of these home teams basically winning, and the only home team that didn't cover was the Thunder.
The Thunder.
Right. So you got to play zigzag. I mean, that's what history tells us. Phoenix, I feel a little bit better about than Dallas. My concern with Dallas is Paul George and James Harden, you know, in a round one kind of situation, and the inability of Dallas to defend the interior. That was the thing that was alarming to me. But Phoenix, Devin Booker's not going to stink like he stunk in that game one. And if Phoenix gets a little bit of a favorable whistle, then I like that. But I'm in the direction that you're in on both those games.
I love it. Raheem, I don't want to spoil because I know you got picks coming tomorrow. So hopefully it will be a big buffet of winners for you on Monday. And you can ride that momentum into maybe a couple of family plays with your boy come Tuesday. You like that?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we got to turn this thing around. It's like we've been up and down, up and down. So hopefully this is a big night for me.
We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Raheem and I are going to be on the Ringer NBA live stream after Knicks Sixers. I will be at the Garden for the first half. I'm either going to take the train to hell and Uber, depending on timing, get to SNY for the second half, put my feet up in the control room where Kendall Roy used to sit. And then right after we wrap up, Raheem and I will be on the YouTube channel. Hopefully I'm in all my glory as the Knicks are up 2-0. And Raheem hits all his bets. I mean, that's what I'm rooting for today, Raheem. Listen, I'm not rooting for your team, but I hope you hit every bet imaginable and you're in a good mood when you're chatting with me later on today. So that's coming up later on tonight. Then we will have our East Coast Bias show on Wednesday into Thursday. And we'll have you set for everything that's coming your way with the NFL draft, with the NBA game threes that'll be coming your way. So great time of the year. A lot of action, a lot of sizzle. Good job by House and Raheem. Thank you, Stefan. Stay tuned. A lot of content. That's right. Buckle up. Boys are out. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in D.C. and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, D.C., Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.